Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. A two-day concert in St. Joseph this weekend will help fight hunger in the area. The Bluegrass Battles Hunger Concert is designed to collect cash and food donations to support the Second Harvest Community Food Bank. KXCB KRNW News Director Kirk Wayman recently talked to one of the concert organizers, Chad Higdon, who says this is the second year for the event.
This started as a Leadership St. Joseph group project. Leadership St. Joseph is a leadership training program that's put on by the United Way. And we identified basically just a project that we'd like to work on, and that was all we were really tasked with, was identifying the project. And from there, our group just kind of took it on the next year and worked to organize the event. So we are in our second year now to put this two-day concert on as a benefit for the Second Harvest Community Food Bank.
What's your vision for this second year's event?
We just are glad. Last year it was just a one-day event, and this year we've moved it up to 2 days and have 11 total bands. And really that's just kind of what we'd hoped, is that we can just continue to grow the event and make it bigger and better. And we think we've got a great event now here just in our second year.
11 bands. What was that like, putting it together?
It's been a lot of work. We have a great group of volunteers, but when you dive into this stuff, you never really know what you're getting into. But it makes for some late nights, some evenings. But it's a lot of fun, and we're very proud of what we've been able to put together.
Any standouts in your mind as far as the bands coming in this year?
We've got Sierra Hole and Highway 111, and Sierra Hole is 19 years old, but she's really making a name for herself in bluegrass music. When she was 13 years old, she was invited to the Grand Ole Opry to perform with Alison Krauss, and she's been nominated for several IBMA awards.
When I know you think the time has come for moving on, that a love once knew is nearly gone, but darling, can't you feel a change in wind coming on?
Chapmans that are from Springfield and have toured nationally and across in different countries.
Yeah, you know I'll always
boom, boom, boom.
Be your slave
boom, boom, boom.
Till I'm buried in my grave. Whoa, bring it to me, bring your sweet loving. Bring it on home to me, yeah, home to me.
Oh, baby, bring your sweet, sweet loving home to me.
Then on Sunday, we've got a great band from Colorado, Head for the Hills, that's coming. So I think we've got some tremendous talent and also some great local bands. We've got Jason Riley, who's originally from Tarkio and lives in St. Joe now. He's got a band called Funky Folk that's performing on Saturday as well. When we put this together, we knew we didn't want to do it for a profit. We wanted to support a great cause, and Second Harvest does a great job supporting food pantries and delivered meals programs and the Backpack Buddies program all throughout Northwest Missouri and Northeast Kansas. And it's an easy organization to support, and we're proud to do so.
Higdon says the Bluegrass Battles Hunger Concert will be at the Coleman Hawkins Park at Felix Street Square in downtown St. Joseph. It runs Saturday from 1 o'clock until about midnight, and again Sunday from 1 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. Those attending are encouraged to bring a non-perishable food item or cash donations for the Second Harvest Community Food Bank. Rubidoux Resident Theater in St. Joseph is bringing bluegrass to the stage this weekend. RRT Executive Director Jeff Haney says Ironweed Bluegrass will perform in the Missouri Theater Saturday evening.
Ironweed Bluegrass is really a band that is based out of Columbia, Missouri, and their focus really is on Missouri bluegrass. Now, this group is really considered by the consumers of bluegrass to be one of the finest in the country. They just recently were chosen to represent the United States in China. They have traveled to China many times, and the Chinese see bluegrass as kind of like Levi jeans. It is the epitome of what is American music. And so they have traveled to China many times, but most recently they have been chosen for 2012 to travel to the country to represent the United States as an example of what bluegrass music is to us. And so we're very proud to be able to bring them here. Their schedule is packed. We got them through the Missouri Arts Council and through their funding, and so we're very pleased to be able to bring that particular group to us. They not only do the bluegrass, they do vintage country, they do some folk music, and they do what they call good old hillbilly twang. And so it's a wide variety when you consider what bluegrass is, and especially what Missouri bluegrass is.
Will they be performing original music, or will they be doing covers or traditional music?
It'll be all over the place. You know, they'll do some of the traditional music, and they'll also do some of their own music. And so there's, again, a wide variety, and I think people will hear some of the pieces that they always want to hear a bluegrass band play, and then they'll be wonderfully surprised by the their original stuff, too.
Now, this is part of RRT's Bravo series.
It is. Our Bravo series is our professional series, and we house that out of the Missouri Theater. And so there we have everything from bluegrass to musicals to dance. We have the Eagles later in the year. And so there's a wide variety of entertainment in that particular series, but it's all professional.
Roubidoux Resident Theater Executive Director Jeff Haney. He says Ironweed will be performing Saturday evening beginning at 7:30 at the Missouri Theater in St. Joseph. Tickets for Ironweed Bluegrass are available online at rrtstjoe.org or by calling the Roubidoux Resident Theater at 816-232-1778. The State Theater Arts Council in Mound City brings a comedy to stage this weekend. Director Jan Seitz says this weekend's production is a comedy for all ages.
The main character in the play is Leona Crump, and she is a very judgmental homeowner in a neighborhood who's very consumed with anxiety over the neighbors that are going to be moving in next door. And the play just really revolves around her and her consumption of the kind of neighbors that she's going to get. Lots of interaction. It's a very delightful play, full of lots of twists and full of comedy and really good for all ages.
Tell me a little bit about the actors in this.
All of these are just local townspeople. Some of them are school teachers. Carolyn Hall works in our school. She's the main lead. She is our Leona Crump. Carrie Seitz is also a teacher here at school, and she is a very naive, sweet neighbor in the play. We have another teacher, Cheryl Motterly. She is Ava in the play. She's a salesman. She sells different various cosmetics and goods. Another one of our teachers is an officer in the play, the local officer. He takes his job very seriously, although he could use another semester in the police academy. And then we have several business people here in town. Jonathan Miller is in it. He's a very simple-minded boyfriend. He's kind of a redneck, a hillbilly-type person. We have a local businessman here, John Miller. He's the mailman, the gentleman that owns the Mound City News Press, also plays a character, Paul Harrison. He's a husband in the play to Judy, and he likes to spell everything out. And he frequents Leona's kitchen a lot in order to stay fed and healthy.
How did you choose this play for the State Theater?
Oh, you know, I direct the middle school plays here in Mound City for our school, and have been involved in plays through the school as director for, about 12 years now, I think. And I know audiences really enjoy just a good laugh and just an enjoyable, good comedy. And I had directed 2 years ago a community play, and they asked me to do another one. And I just kind of sorted through different things, and based on the amount of people that we had that are usually interested, and read through some of the storylines, and just thought this was a winner.
What do you like about it?
I like that it has a wide variety of parts in it. It's just the right size for the members that we have in our community, as far as that are willing to, you know, invest the time to put on the community play. And I like the storyline. I mean, it's just good, clean, wholesome fun. It's a script that's just easy to entertain an audience of, you know, all ages.
Jan Seitz is the director of the State Theater Arts Council's production of Love Thy Neighbor. The comedy will be Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2 o'clock at the State Theater in Mound City. Tickets are available by calling 660-442-5909 or 816-294-4016. An old politician will be visiting Chillicothe this weekend. The Friends of the Livingston County Library have invited Harry Truman to visit their community. The director of the library is Robin Westfall.
Actually, it'll be impersonator Ray Ettinger, who's from Independence. He'll be presenting a program at the Silver Moon Plaza, which is located downtown in Chillicothe. And it's a program that's sponsored by the Friends of the Livingston County Library. The Friends group, this will be the second year in a row that they're sponsoring a series highlighting famous Missourians. Last year we were able to bring an impersonator of Mark Twain to the library and have an ice cream social. This year we're going to be outside at the Silver Moon Plaza, and we'll have Ettinger as Harry S. Truman. And we'll also follow that by some light refreshments, and it's going to be a great program for the community.
What do you think people can expect from this program? What might they learn about Harry Truman?
Well, I think what they're going to learn is kind of how he took his folksy, you know, non-assuming style that were really important and developed, you know, in Missouri, and to how he took that to Washington, and how that stayed with him during the time that he was there. I mean, I think there's going to be some humor involved. I bet you we'll hear some of Truman's famous quotes. You know, the buck stops here, and some things like that. Mr. Ettinger has been doing a Truman impersonations since the mid 1980s. And he's a known commercial actor and a stage actor out of Independence, Missouri. So this is something that he has developed and has done a lot of research to get the character just right. And we found that these programs are really popular with the entire family. It's great for kids and younger people who really don't know much about Harry Truman or his style, or even what he would have looked like as a young man, because that's what Ettinger is kind of focusing on, is that look, you know, while he was in Missouri and as a young man, to an older generation who's very familiar with Truman and his style and why Missouri and his upbringing in Missouri was so crucial to his presidency.
That was Livingston County Library Director Robin Westfall. She says Harry Truman impersonator Ray Ettinger will be at the Silver Moon Plaza in Chillicothe on Sunday beginning at 2 o'clock. Area museums will be taking part in the Smithsonian Magazine Museum Day. Museum Day is a day when museums and cultural institutions across the nation invite the public to see their facilities free of charge. Public Relations Officer for the St. Joseph Museum, Kathy Reno, says the day is designed to honor arts and culture throughout the country.
Well, it's a great time to celebrate our heritage, our culture, maybe learn some things about history that you didn't know, And it's an opportunity to get people of all ages in, because a lot of the museums will do special activities for families. It's a good way for everybody to have a chance to see something that might be of interest to them, because there are so many museums in this country, particularly in St. Joseph. We have 8, 9, 12, something for everybody. So this is a good time to get a taste of what's out there, too, so that when you do have relatives come to your community, you know exactly what's where and what they might enjoy.
Will there be special events in conjunction with this in St. Joseph?
There will be. The Albright Kemper Museum of Art is going to have a family-oriented craft that day. All the museums have slightly different hours, but you can always go to the stjomo.com website, and that's our local convention and visitor bureau website, and they have everyone's hours. Our special event for Smithsonian Museum Day is Treasures, Trash, and Tunes, and we use our grounds and the building and have a big flea market. It's going to have everything from vendors who specialize in, maybe they make candles or they create a certain type of jewelry, to people who've just decided, well, this would be a great place to have a garage sale where there's lots of traffic. The museum itself receives donations throughout the year for the sale, and we cleaned out, you know, our education department, what things are left over from special activities for kids, so you can find just about anything. We'll be open 8 to 4. The Tunes of Treasures, Trash, and Tunes is provided by musical groups from Missouri Western State University. So whether you're looking for a bargain or you love antiques, this is the place to stop by. There'll be art, books, collectibles, home decor, jewelry, glassware, furniture, bath and body products, tools. There's a man that specializes in tools, toys, and just about anything else you can think of.
That's Public Relations Officer for St. Joseph Museums, Kathy Reno. She says Treasures, Trash, and Tunes will be at the St. Joseph Museum at 3406 Frederick Avenue from 8 o'clock a.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. She adds all museums in the Museum Association of St. Joseph are participating in the Smithsonian Magazine Museum Day.
What is it with the popularity of end-of-the-world movies? We've had apocalypse films with space aliens taking over and others with nature punishing us. Of course, there's the ever-present zombie film, way too ever-present, with the undead bringing down civilization. Then there are many films about human technology backfiring. And finally, there are the apocalypse by disease movies. The recently released Contagion is the latest film dramatizing a plague that kills off a few million people. Why are we so fascinated by end-of-the-world movies? My invisible friend Dr. Freud would attribute their popularity to what he called the universal death wish shared by all humans. So maybe we're attracted to movies that portray terrible loss of lives because of the death wish. Or not. Dr. Freud is often sort of off the wall. A simpler reason is our recognition that such disasters are all too possible, and they are scary. As the title of Contagion suggests, it's a tale about a new and deadly virus that spreads throughout the world. The opening scenes show the origins of the plague. It spreads by touch. We get lots of close-ups of hands making contact with potential contamination. Beth Ehrnhoff, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, is an executive who's been on a business trip to Hong Kong. The opening scenes show how the contagion is spread. She eats bar peanuts from a bowl. She drinks from a cocktail glass touched by others. When gambling, she touches chips, all handled by many. Then during a 5-hour layover in Chicago, she has a tryst with a former lover. Then when she gets home to Minneapolis, she becomes very ill. Husband Mitch, played by Matt Damon, rushes her to the hospital where she goes into seizures and dies. Damon gets an actor's dream scene when he can't process what the doctor is telling him about his wife's death. She has infected her young son, too, and he also dies. Now, Mitch is left with only his teenage daughter, Jody. We learn that Mitch is immune to the disease, which gives us a character to follow. In most apocalypse movies I've seen, we get separate storylines. Here, in one of these, CDC official Dr. Ellis Cheever, the dependable Lawrence Fishburne, and Dr. Erin Mears, Kate Winslet, work hard to track the spread of the disease and mobilize scientists to find a vaccine. Mears contacts it. Will she live? In another, an unscrupulous blogger, played by Jude Law, breaks the news of the virus on his blog, causing widespread panic. Then he exploits his huge audience to sell a fake herbal cure. One of the characters, Dr. Sussman, played by the venerable Elliot Gould, gets a good line when the nasty blogger harasses him for information. "Blogging is just graffiti with punctuation," snarls Gould. In the Mitch and Jody plot, Mitch has to figure out how to keep his 16-year-old daughter, in the raging hormone stage, from leaving the house to see her boyfriend. In a touching scene, Jody and her beau find a way to have their prom, despite the plague. And so it goes. Contagion is a truly derivative film. It shares the same organization into multiple plot lines of dozens of similar disaster movies. It reminds me a little bit of Robert Wise's adaptation of The Andromeda Strain. But it tells this rather hackneyed story well and has excellent performances from Damon, Paltrow, Winslet, and others. Jude Law plays a villainous blogger that's wonderfully nasty. These films tend to be object lessons, especially the apocalypse by disease stories. In Contagion, we get lectures about the thousands of times a day we touch our faces with our hands, with repeated examples on screen of movements we all do. And we regularly hear of new and deadly viruses. If you want to see a really excellent apocalypse by disease film, rent the DVD of 12 Monkeys, a movie so good that you'll have to watch it more times than one in order to really understand it. Contagion isn't in the same class, but it has excellent performances and good production values. I'll give it 3.5 stars out of 5, maybe because I couldn't wait to wash my hands when I got out of the theater.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.